Let's talk to Phil in Glenside. Phil, good morning, buddy.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up,
hey,
Phil?
Jason, it's an honor to be on the phone with you. I think that the big thing we're missing about the Eagles is that they're really just not that good. I mean, there were so many things that had to go right for this team. And to be honest, both of their big free agent signings on defense are total busts. Fletcher Cox gone is a huge – we're missing him terribly. We're missing Kelce on offense. You know, there's a lot of distractions with this team.
Don't you love saying you're missing Kelce on offense as if he's not listening to you?
No. I didn't even know he was going to be on. But
yeah.
Honestly,
no, but,
you lose but, a Hall but, of Famer and Fletcher Cox, you know.
Phil, those losses, I said in the offseason, I thought people were just kind of glossing over them a little much.
Totally.
And I think, and especially with Jalen Carter not stepping up. Like,
Jalen Carter is such a disappointment.
Guys, he's got to be great because it's in there. We've seen it. And I saw year two Jerome be great. I saw year two Fletcher Cox be great consistently.
Guys, right
Jalen
now.
Jalen Carter has to step up now.
Right now, the other defensive linemen need to do a great job of stepping up while he's getting the brunt of it. Like, really, he's getting a lot of attention.
Yeah,
he's
but
getting
so doubled. So did Fletcher.
I know. And Fletcher did a great job of busting through those things. Like, he can do a better job. But, man, you know, Milton Williams, let's get after it. Moro Jomo, let's get after it.
But, John, you're picking guys that aren't
Jordan
supposed
Davis.
Jordan Davis is supposed to be getting better,
more explosive,
but it's year
penetrating.
When do you just say, I've seen enough to know he's not that good? You know what I mean?
That's the problem.
All right, Phil, give me a great answer, a movie prop. You get it in your home.
Superman's cape.
That's pretty cool. Interesting.
That's a cool answer.
It's a great answer. It's a pretty good answer.
We're just poo-pooing all the answers.
No, that's pretty good. Superman's cape. I like this.
Can anything make you happy today?
Yes. Can I tell you one thing?
Please.
No, not if you're going to take a good answer.
Real pants.
I know. That was a mistake. Jason, you'll appreciate this. DeCamera decided to wear sweatpants to work today, and it turns out that the new board at our company is touring the facility today during our show.
Embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
That's great.
What are you going to do? Yeah, what are you going to do? Yeah. I mean, and
look like a professional.
Hide your legs.
And I'll remind them I am, in fact,
DeCamera.
So, you know, it's deal with it. Yeah, that's my words. Deal with it. All right. You know. All right, Jason, let's talk about Saquon for a moment here. So you never were his teammate, but I'm sure you know him to a decent extent. I hate to say, do you think he's got something extra? Because that almost insinuates that he hasn't in past week. And I think the guy's always ready to rock and roll. But do you think him against the Giants, with what that stalemate was contractually for, it had to be like 3 years or something, where they just were not coming to terms on a potential big deal. I mean, he's got to be remarkably motivated this weekend, wouldn't you think?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I would assume yes. I think that, you know, I never played with another team, so it's hard for me to have frame of reference. But I know guys that did when they were playing their former teams. It definitely means a little bit more. I mean, this is a team that had a chance to lock them up long term, and you know they messed around and ultimately ended up signing with the Eagles, and thankfully. And then even after that, I think there was a lot of noise with obviously people upset in New York that he did sign with not just with anybody but with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah,
so
I
would assume he's going to be really fired up. Yeah, I think it's going to be. I'm looking forward to an awesome game from him. Giants defense is good. I'm not going to lie. I mean, they've been pretty stout against some really good offenses, especially. But, Saquon, I mean, he's also been pretty darn good and a guy that's been hard to slow down for any team.
Saquon.
Reminds me a little bit, sorry, John, of, hopefully it goes. When we got DeMarco Murray, I remember there's a lot of animosity from the Cowboys and DeMarco. We got probably stuffed harder than we've ever been in the run game.
It was 15 carries for 2 yards is what it was.
I remember playing that game like, man, these guys really like freaking, they're mad at this guy. So, they were like talking trash. I'm like, okay, it was more so than like any other, team I played where there was like a guy was playing his former team.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah.
So the under center thing, Jason, how much does it matter? We are making a lot of it today that Jalen is not under center. I contend that he can be, that it's not that big a stretch if he would be. But this is just, you know, I know that the offense could look different if we could play action out of under center to run some of those stretch fakes. I love the stretch fakes. Andy Reid loved the stretch fakes. It really makes a difference. How much does it matter that we're not under center very much?
Well, I mean, it's tough to answer. Obviously, the under center stuff works incredibly well, and you watch these other teams do it, and it's like, man, that stuff is effective. It's very effective, and I think it's, you get running the stretch stuff from gun. One, it's not as effective because of the where the back's at and where the offensive line is.
Yeah,
I always preferred the run stretch from under center because the back is immediately in phase and pressing the edge. So you get more displacement front side. He's in sync with the line more. And then with the fake of that, it feels like it draws out more when the quarterback is running there and it looks exactly the same. It's fun stuff to watch and be a part of. That being said, I think that, the RPOs and that stuff aren't working right now. And you have to be creative in all this stuff. You can't be predictable. And the biggest thing that'll ruin you, whether you're under center or in shotgun, is if the other team kind of knows what you're doing. Like if you're doing the same thing formationally every single time and the back's over here and it's like, okay, they're going to run the RPO on first and second down. Guess what? The RPO is going to be really hard to execute. But if you can move the background, if you can motion receivers from 3x1 to 2x2, if you can do things to disguise things, the RPO offense has been proven to be really successful as well. And there's a reason why sometimes the run game seems like it's like wide open. And listen, the backside backer is not running anywhere. Like we saw that against the San Francisco 49ers in the playoff game in the NFC Championship in 22. They have these heralded linebackers, and they're nervous to go chase down the play because they know if they do, Jalen might throw it right behind them. So there's advantages to everything. Do I love the under center offense, and do I think we can probably do a little bit more of it? Yeah, we probably can, and I do love it. But I think that the bottom line is you can still have a really dynamic, fun offense in shotgun. And I think that with Jalen's skills, there's probably more threats in shotgun, which is why they probably skew to that because of the added threat of running. But I think that, it all works, man. It's just don't be predictable, be creative, and find ways to, take advantage of, leverage of defenders, aggression from defenders. Like we run these RPOs sometimes, and these guys dive bomb it. And you almost you want them to do that. And then you're like, hey, let's call a protection and run a double move out there because the guy's going to jump it again.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't
think that you can't have a dynamic offense in shotgun and doing things. And I've seen it work. But yeah, the under center stuff, it feels like it's more dummy proof and it's more, synchronistic just by nature. It feels like you have to do more when you're in shotgun to really hide things. But even the best under center ones, like what Ben Johnson's doing in Detroit, with all these Shanahan style, they're still are they under center and is the boot and all that stuff a part of it? Yeah, but a big part of why those things are even the best offenses right now in the NFL is because of the motion, is because of the way they can hit teams unexpectedly. And they build that with motions and other things. And the under center is a part of that. But I think it's also a part of all these other things that they do to disguise things.
Hi, good morning to all on this Thursday morning, getting closer to the Eagles and the Giants, which I think we all look forward to on multiple fronts. I mean, for one thing, the Eagles can hopefully start washing away the taste of, believe it or not, John, a win. That's a rare thing. Let's wash away the taste of a win But it was such
a 4-point.
It was such an ugly win. You know what I mean? Yeah, nasty.
It's a nasty team.
It was. So, yeah. You know, and I don't think we should lose sight of the fact that if the Eagles beat the Giants, 4-2 is a good record. Doesn't mean they're a good team, but it's a good record. And you guys know my theory that one of the most important ways for the Eagles to become good this year, they have to stack wins against the teams they're supposed to beat while they, and I think it's going to take many weeks to become a good team. I don't think they just become a good team this Sunday. I really don't. I think they're too far away from it to just snap their fingers and do it. But I have seen teams improve. We have seen teams improve. Matter of fact, and Jason with us right now, Jason Kelsey is, as he is for a good long stretch here with us. Jason, you were part of the 2013 Eagles. I mean, We all remember how it started, which was beautiful in Washington in a week one win. What a lot of people might not remember, Jason, you guys lost 3 in a row after that. You know, but you got to 10-6 from 1-3. You got to the playoffs. Improvement does. I mean, this team needs to improve. But Jason, can you just describe the process of a team trying to and at times achieving true improvement in a season?
Yeah, I mean, you're always looking at the tape and trying to focus on obviously one, how can we get better as a team? Like, what are the macro things that we need to improve on? Whether it's taking care of the football, being smart situationally, effort, like all of the big picture things are discussed, then you're going to go into it as like an offense. Like, what do we need to do better than as offense? We got to get out the faster starts. We got to do a better job of, hanging onto the ball. We got to do a better job of running the football. We got to do a better job of this. And you're looking at all the different ways to improve those. And then you go to your position. So like you're getting all of this. And for me, the biggest thing that I think it really comes down to is like every team is just a summation of its individual parts. And as an individual, you just have to really focus on what can I do today to be a better player, to help this offense and to improve on how I've been playing or what I did last week. And that's how you have to approach it. And I think you continually focus on that. You continually harp on that. The coaches are continually trying to put you in situations that are advantageous and that are easier. And, there are times in a season where things aren't going well. I mean, you brought up us right there, but I mean, the Super Bowl winning team last year, the Chiefs were arguably not going to make the playoffs at one point last year. And then they go on to become the team that they were at the end of the season with Rashee Rice coming on and playing well. And, you know, the difference of those guys' defense was lights out all season long, but you know, improvement happens, and you're going to go through times where you're playing your best ball. You're going to go times where all of a sudden things just aren't clicking for whatever reason. And, you know, I keep going back. I think this team is really, really talented. I think both sides of the ball have shown games where they've been, like, dominating and then other games where they've really, really struggled.
Yeah.
And if we can time that up, right, if we can do – if it feels like the defense is trending in the right direction, it feels like the offense obviously struggled a little bit against Cleveland, Jim Schwartz, and, you know, it's, you know, I think if they can get back to, you know, what they did, you know, first week minus the turnovers, if they get back to running the football really well with Saquon, there's still a lot of time to get better. And quite frankly, in a division that's pretty wide open, I mean, the Commanders are playing really well, but outside of that, you know, they're going to have some opportunities to win a lot of games and build some momentum coming in here late.
Jason, the identity of this team. I'm curious, when you were playing, I know when I was playing, the offensive lineman and myself, like I don't even know if you've even played with fullbacks, but I've considered myself
Schmidt,
like a petite fullback.
Oh, that guy.
Petite offensive lineman. Owen Schmidt was your guy. Yeah, I was like an offensive lineman that was just smaller, and we always wanted to run it. Like, we always complained to the coaches that we weren't running it enough, and it never stopped. It was first quarter. It was second quarter. It was as we're going in the locker room at halftime, we're complaining. As we're coming out, we're complaining.
Yeah.
What is it? I do think the identity of this Eagles team could be a running football team. Is that allowable with the way that the organization perceives itself?
Oh, I mean, it's definitely allowable. I mean, listen, they want to put up points and they want to score points. And obviously, Jeffrey, I think he's been outspoken. You know, he's a fan of throwing the football. But at the end of the day, everybody is a bigger fan of winning than anything.
Right.
And
yeah.
they know the guy that they have in the backfield in Saquon. I mean, the problem with last week is the run just wasn't working. They tried to. It just wasn't being executed as well. Some of it was schematically. Some of it, there were some runs there that if, you know how it is, Richie, like one guy just gets like, man, if, yeah. You know, there's a run early, like Saquon runs into Landon, and it's like, man, if he just doesn't do that, he's on the free safety.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know if it was. But and then there's another one where they caught him in like a really aggressive run blitz on a counter play, and if that sneaks out of there, it's a huge explosive. So it's really close. And I do think with the offensive line they have in Saquon, you know, when they are going through these dry spells, they should be leaning on those guys. And part of that's by nature, like you were just describing, Richie, like you always want to run the ball as an offensive lineman because that's the way that you can impact the game, right? Like as a pass blocker, you know, I get to sit here and act like I'm really doing something, but really it's on the quarterback and those guys making the plays.
Right.
So like the way you get to take control is by run blocking and by, you know, opening up holes. And I will say this, the only fullback I really played with was Owen Schmidt. Love that guy to death. And I think the fullback is almost unanimously always the most liked guy on the team, partly because everybody knows he's got the most grueling position that nobody else wants to do. they're almost always like this, like just a crazy individual that like is willing to put their body through insurmountable harm,
sure.
Whether it's on offense or on kickoff return.
Yeah.
But I think one of the downfalls, very, very candidly, one of the downfalls of like modern offense is, like, not only have they kind of gotten that position out of there, but they've gotten that mentality out of there. Like, the mentality of a fullback is so important to have in a building. Because there's discussions had between coaches, there's discussions had in the cafeteria, there's discussions had in the weight room. You need that guy that's just like, I'm just going to run through this guy's face.
Wow.
And that's what I think about the game. And I think
absolutely.
Jason, you should have been as...
that you're seeing the two best offenses in the NFL right now are the Detroit Lions and the Baltimore Ravens. Baltimore Ravens, Ricard, I mean, how much? He's like a 300-pound fullback.
Yeah, three bills. 315.
Like both of those teams play football with that mindset, and they're taking advantage of a game that's in a lot of ways shifted away from that.
Totally.
And because of analytics and because of a lot of the game is more explosive in the passing game. And those two offenses are finding ways to still maintain that explosion, but also, like, no, we're going to run it right at you, and you're going to have to prove that you can stop this.
You could have been Richie's agent. Mm-hmm. I think Ruben Amaro even would have signed him for an extra 2 or 3 years.
No doubt.
All right, let's get a couple more calls in here. A few more minutes with Jason. Chuck in Mount Airy right now. Chuck, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Joe. Good morning, morning team, John.
What's
Jason,
up, Chuck?
How you doing, Jason? Hey, Jason, I didn't get a chance to introduce myself to you last week. I was so pissed at the Phillies, you know what I mean? So I'm formally introducing myself. How you doing? I'm Chuck from Mount Airy. Nice to meet you, sir.
Good to meet you, Chuck.
And let me just say this, Chuck, before you continue, so Jason knows, because he may or may not know. Chuck, true or false, you are Bryce Harper's favorite WIP caller. Is that accurate?
According to me, yes. According to him, I'm not
fair enough.
You're the only one he hit a home run for, or at least said he hit a home run for, that's for sure.
Chuck, that's the first time you've ever shown humility. I am flummoxed by this.
Oh, wow.
Personally, I don't approve of it, but that's all right.
Hey, listen, it's okay. Hey, you know what? I've never met John in person. I've met everybody over there in the studio in person. I've never met you, John Ritchie, in person.
We'll have to change that, bud.
He's elusive.
I would love to meet you in person, John. I mean, I'm serious, man. Come, whenever you have an event at Chicken and Peach, we got to have a beer, 15 minutes. You know, that's all I need in your time.
All right.
You know, and that's man. You know?
Let's make it. All right. Sounds like a date, Chuck.
That's funny, too.
I really do. I would love to hang out.
Normally, John only needs 2 minutes, but, you know.
Well,
you got 15.
John, you left a lot to be desired, Joe, when I met you, man.
What did I do? Hold on, I'm cracked.
You left a lot to be desired.
Maybe I wasn't interested in talking to you. You think about that? I mean, we can go back and forth.
So he didn't find him interesting?
It's what you call tit for tat, Chuck. All right?
That's harsh,
I'll go
man.
Tit for every tat
hey,
you got.
When we met, you left a lot to be desired. That's rough.
Wow.
Flatlined him.
Uh-oh.
Hitting where it hurts.
Yeah, it's kind of rude, Chuck. Hey. All right, what do you got today, buddy?
I was expecting a hammer. I got the nail. You know what I mean?
But shut his hole!
You should keep your mouth shut.
Hey, yo, listen. What I'm saying is, this team, I believe they can be good. I really do. I want to believe in my heart of hearts they can be good. I really do. I don't know if the quarterback is consistent enough, man. No, he reminds me so much of Donovan McNabb. Like, you know what I mean? Just, you know, Donovan obviously had more of a powerful arm.
Way better. But Donovan was really good.
He
man.
Reminds you of Donovan McNabb. Yeah. Donovan McNabb was awesome. Donovan McNabb was the reason that I came to Philadelphia in a lot of ways. I wanted to play with that guy who was going to lead us to a Super Bowl. So I would love that.
At the beginning of Donovan's career, let me correct that, you know, when we was winning ugly.
Well, he finished second in MVP in his second year, man. I mean, you know, he's playing out there with Manny Moe and Jack his first year. It's basically Deuce gets hurt after five games. It's basically Chad Lewis and Donovan in that first full year, and they still won 10 or 11 games and made the playoffs. That was incredible. Now, granted, there was a good defense.
Well, Jalen finished second in MVP. Right?
No, I know, but here's the here. But Chuck, hold on, Chuck. Here's the difference. Donovan sustained it for a decade. Yeah, we can point to the random games. He struggled week six versus the Giants in 2003. We know that. He struggled with the whole fiasco in 2008. We know that. But, I mean, Donovan was a dude for a decade, man. That's hard.
Donovan was a great, good quarterback. I give him a good quarterback. I admire Donovan. But he was not consistent enough. This is why we didn't win in the big games. You know what I mean? And then when Andy Reid went and got Patrick Mahomes, who's consistent.
Well, he's better. I mean, Mahomes is,
you know what I mean?
Mahomes is the best quarterback to ever play.
Look, Mahomes is in a class of three in modern times. Mahomes, Brady, I can't speak to the Unitas thing, but in modern times, it is obviously, in whatever order you want to put them, Brady, Montana, and Mahomes. That's it.
Quarterback ever. The guy that's in that booth right now that wears number 12 is the best quarterback that's ever played football. Come on.
Well, hopefully he says something. He's got to be a better broadcaster.
He's not allowed.
No, he won more than any other quarterback.
He's the best quarterback.
He won more.
All right, Chuck, we got to move here, my man. Give me an answer. A prop from a movie you would display in your home.
How can you never say this? I mean, I would fit this right in my basement. You know, it was the greatest item in age to me. Proton pack, the Ghostbusters pack.
It's all right.
Awesome.
That's an awesome one. That's a really good one.
I
still think there's better answers, but fine. You want to go with that? That's fine.
I would take a proton pack for sure.
All right. Hey, Jason, two final things with Jason here with us, as he is every Thursday at this time. So first off, Jason, Thursday of next week, cool event. Costume contest. Your company, of course, Garage Beer, has the Garage Beer Kelsey Costume Contest. It is Thursday of next week at 7 o'clock at Chickies and Pete's, South Philadelphia. We love Chickies. And, of course, you know, Garage Beer we love. And it's going to be great prizes for the best costume that resembles Jason. Like, you got to come in a Jason Kelsey kind of costume, and you can win prizes. Now, I will say,
that's flattering, isn't it? I think Jason, that's a big deal.
Right? That's pretty cool.
I don't know. I don't like people doing anything. I don't know.
They're dressing up like you. That's a huge, wow.
Now, wouldn't you say the group, which Mummers group did you get that thing from? Because wouldn't you say they'd have the inside track, those that own that costume?
Yeah, Avalon String Band. Hit them up. They got all those.
Dude, there's going to be like,
some clown named Mike Lombardi.
Man.
There's going to be 45 of those things in there. How does it get decided? But by the way, let me say this. Great prizes for the best costume, like tickets to an Eagles game and other prizes. So find out how to submit your costume online on Garage Beer and Chickies and Pete's social media pages. So check out the social media pages of Chickies and Garage Beer. Come up with some good, fun, creative costumes. And obviously, and Jason, it's great that you're, you know, Garage Beer. Tell us a little bit more about it. I know you guys got big plans for it, and it's already off to a great start. Tell us more about it.
Well, it's a beer company that my brother and I are a part of that started in Cincinnati. It's a light beer. There's also a lime beer. And through a lot of like similar connections, we kind of became aware of it and presented with some opportunities to be a part of it. And we just feel like the brand really fits us. It's, you know, it's a brand that doesn't take itself too seriously, but it is a good quality product. And, it's for dads, it's for guys, you know, just trying to kick back and enjoy after a hard week or a hard day.
Or a hard win, like an Eagles win.
Hard
when they
win.
A hard
nothing
win.
Better than a, there's nothing better than a hard win beer. Straight.
That's classic, man.
Beer helps keep the calories up, too. If you're trying to keep weight on for the season, it can help.
Yeah, it can definitely help. This one's pretty light. It's got 95. I'm thinking about making it healthy.
Yeah, that's like nothing, man. Wow.
I know.
It's good for you.
It's not bad.
So you can take a lot of them down is the point.
More than you can, Seltzer. More than you can.
The royal you,
much
buddy.
Faster
the
than
royal
you. Do.
You.
Hey, we need that rematch at some point.
I got a sauna out back, and I think a sauna burns 100 calories every 10 minutes. So
nice.
I basically like just it like it's like, not, it's like I'm not even drinking.
You're right. Perfect setup. Good for you, man. All right, Jason. Final thing here. So as we said earlier, you know, for everyone listening, Jason typically in studio with us, not this Thursday. He's back in his original homeland, the state of Ohio, of course, where Jason is from. And I know, Jason, you're hanging out with some of your buddies, you know, in the days up ahead here. So what is life like for you? I mean, you've now done this for about 6 or 7 weeks, I guess, retired, but, you know, doing the NFL thing, announcing and, you know, a little bit with us. But you get to see your friends on a random weekend when, let's be real, other than the bye, you never would have gotten that chance in the last 15 years. So
that's
got to be pretty cool. You enjoying that stuff?
Oh, yeah, I am. I'm enjoying being a part of society more. Like, when you're a football player, you're so just in your own world. And there's a lot of ways that brings you closer. And if I'm being very transparent and honest, I miss that to a certain extent. You're so, like, you know, you become like brothers and you kind of have to be because of how insulated you are from everything else that's happening in the world.
Mm.
But it's been really awesome to... one, just like enjoy the NFL season. Like enjoy fall. Like, I don't know, I was just walking around like, man, it has been so long since I've just been walking in trees changing colors. Like I haven't seen this.
How about it?
And it is nice. It is very nice. And you know, to be able to, you know, kind of look at things differently and be kind of, you know, back into the real world and seeing things from a different lens that
fall's so much more beautiful when it doesn't hurt. Fall is so much more beautiful.
It's the best.
It's so true.
When it doesn't hurt.
Yeah. Very accurately said, Richie. Very accurate.
Yeah.
Well, Jason, thanks for being a huge part of the show, you know, as always on Thursdays. We look forward to seeing you here next week. And have a great time with your buddies, man. That's really, we're all happy for you because, look, you've earned everything you've got. So have a great time with your boys.
Thanks, Joe. I will say, my last movie prop, I thought about it with the costume event of dressing like Jason. I would love to have the Predator outfit.
Oh.
Just have that thing mounted on. Like,
that's
going to be dope.
That would be so dope.
Is Ruben, is Jason eligible to win the prize today? I mean, I don't know what the rules are here.
He is not allowed.
Not eligible.
He's not allowed.
He's not getting paid.
Not a member of the media. My
media
personality. Am I a member of the media?
You are. Now you are. Yes. Yeah.
A lot more than Conklin.
Yeah, way more.
Dude, you're a Monday Night Football. I mean, come on now. All right, Jason, have fun, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys.
All right, there he is, Jason Kelce.
That was great.
Yeah, that was fun. That was good stuff. All right, 215-592-9494. We are still trying to assess if Joe Conklin's a member of the media. That's why it's part of our Twitter poll questions of the day brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and at Armin Chevrolet, you'll be seeing pink all month long as they honor survivors and, of course, remember those that have passed away. Always hoping for a cure, ArminChevy.com. All right. The first poll question, is Conklin a member of the media, yes or no? Second poll question, do you think the Eagles become a good team this year, yes or no? Third poll question, following the Phil season, whose failures bothered you the most? All three had a hand at the end, for sure. Whose failures at the end bothered you the most? Dombrowski, the players, or Rob Thompson? Let's listen to one more thing here of Rob Thompson and then right back to the phones because...
You mean Dombrowski?
Excuse me, I'm sorry, Dombrowski, my fault. Let's listen to more of Dombrowski, the press conference 2 days ago. This clip I thought really spoke to his mindset. Here's Dave Dombrowski.
I'm going to ask you to simplify something that I know you're not going to want to simplify, but when you were mentioning to Todd the number of stars you have in the clubhouse, the starting rotation, the all-stars on this year's roster, when you look at a team where their expectation was the World Series and you have all of those raw materials, mm-hmm. what is the final missing piece, you think, to putting them over the edge in the postseason and finally getting that World Series, whether it's health or a player? What is the missing piece you felt like for this year's team?
Well, I don't think that that's the, to me, the answer is not the missing piece. The answer is playing well at the right time. And so when you say that, I've always felt you go out there with four good starting pitchers, right? Well, we have four good starting pitchers. You go out there with a good bullpen. Our bullpen didn't pitch well. It just didn't. I mean, that's the way it is. But I really thought going into the postseason that it's an incorrect judgment by me and by a lot of us that we thought our bullpen would be. That's what you're looking to do. We didn't score enough runs. We just did not. I mean, we scored runs in one game. We did not score runs in three games. And so you go back in the past years, there's some games we scored runs, and there's other games we didn't. But you really have to play well at the right time.
All right, I love having Ruben here to break this down. Because, Ruben, I agree totally with Dombrowski, and I know a lot of people listening don't. Now, let me just ask you this question. Two of your teams, one you're an assistant GM, one you're the GM. 2008 Phillies win the World Series. I'm just going to pick one of them. 11 doesn't. Doesn't even come close in the sense that you guys lost in your first series. Which team, in your opinion, was a better baseball team, the 08 Phillies or the 2011 Phillies?
By far, 2011.
I agree.
But not even close. Just run it. I mean, just run the rosters. You have to be playing right at the right time. The problem that I had with this ball club was the inability to adjust.
Sure.
And the adjustment needed to be, okay, I got to stay in the strike zone my swing decisions have to be better. Throw me a strike, I'll hit it. Throw me a ball, I'll take it. And that sounds really simple, and it's really difficult to do, but if you're an elite hitter, you should have that ability. And it's whether or not these guys can really change that mindset and really get to that point, or they can relax enough, because it felt like there was tension in these games.
Yeah.
Like they weren't loose and free and easy and didn't just play their baseball, and it was pretty noticeable. And you noticed that by the swing decisions that they made. They swung at a lot of pitches that were out of the zone, and they put themselves in tough positions. They got themselves out. They weren't getting the pitchers weren't getting them out there, got themselves out a lot. And that happens a lot.
So does that mean you have to retool the clubhouse to some degree because you know the mindset wasn't right for the last, I don't know, several years now?
I think a couple of things have to happen. It's a combination of things. I think the mindset has to change a little bit, and you have to be sort of and this is
you go into an offseason with the idea to change mindset.
Yeah, I mean, like, or to change players.
Look at a guy or
but
to do
players
both.
With the mindset concept yes. in mind or
yes.
something.
And that sort of rubs off on other guys. Like when you see other guys having these quality at bats, you think to yourself, wow, man, I got it. That's really
yeah.
productive.
Those you are would productive think that at bats. Could rub off. You
I
would
think it
you
look
watch
at a guy
the
like
guy.
Look at a guy like Kyle Schwarber. He can make it's hard to make these adjustments. Mike Schmidt did it. Kyle Schwarber has done it. He went up 50 points in his average. Now, he didn't have as much power, but he also got more hits. He was a more productive player. I believe that guys can do that. Some guys can't, but I do believe that some of the guys can. Like, Trey Turner can be better at swinging at pitches in the zone. And I think that, you know, I think it's really a mindset that you have to have like sort of a cosmic shift in your brain and say to yourself, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to make this a priority. I'm going to make more quality at bats, quality at outs, even more quality outs. I think that
deeper in the count, get to the bullpen earlier. Yeah,
and obviously the bullpen has to be revamped. I believe in having a closer. I love for Rob Thompson to have somebody in the ninth inning that he presses the button and that's the guy. It's a hard thing to do in this day and age. There aren't that many of them. And I think he's done a really good job of sort of putting people in the right pockets. That said, if they're not on, then you see exactly what happened in these playoffs. Yeah. And unfortunately, two or three of them went south at the same time.
They really did.
It was really unfortunate.
It was
did.
Stunning. Yeah. Ruben, let me ask you one more thing, then we'll get right to the calls. So for the people that want big changes, or like at least one big piece change, let's call it that, one big piece change. I think the two players that come up the most in this conversation, because we're not talking about Rojas, we're not even talking about Marsh, and while a lot of people would like Trey out, he's not going to be out with 9 years left on his deal. The two players that I think that are most referenced are Bohm and Castellanos. Now, Castellanos finished strong, started bad. Bohm was the complete opposite. Gut feeling, Ruben. April 1st, 2025. Are they both on the team or only one of them on the team?
Only one. Only one will be on the team. I'm not sure which one will be moved, but they both have value in different ways.
And do you think that's an objective? If you're the Phillies, you're thinking, I do want to change something, and I'm not trading Bryson Stott. I believe in his future. So if I'm changing something real, those are the two guys. It's one or the other, or theoretically both, but it's those two guys, right?
I view this a little differently. I happen to think they're going to have a totally different center fielder and left fielder.
Well, I agree with that, but I also
know that you
nobody
can change
object,
all of that.
Nobody objects to that.
No, I know that.
Nobody objects to that.
Listen, and if you're going to move a guy like Bohm, like I said, if you're going to move like a guy like Bohm, I just don't know that you'll get the kind of quality that's necessary to move the guy. He is really good. Conversely, I don't think that Castellanos is going to bring you a ton, so he's probably more valuable on your team than he is being traded. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, there's a whole lot of this is the difficulty of being a GM, man. It's not an easy task. That's why they get paid the big bucks. And that is why Dave Dombrowski is one of the best in the game, because he knows how to win. He's been there. He's done it. I am sure that they're assessing what needs to be done. I am sure that he's holding a lot of stuff close to the vest. And I think he's going to do what's necessary to try to get this team to be better. Does it need to be 60% better? No. Does it need to be 15% better? Probably. And I think that he will address those things.
All right, let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Scott in Abington. Scott, good morning.
Hey, guys. Listen, I want to put this whole member of the media thing to bed. So what I want you to do, Joe, is to write the word comedian and tell me if you notice anything.
Ooh. Well, the problem is there's
a strong point there.
There's a CO in there and a COM, and that might also mean communist. So
no, it could be co, as in he works with media.
Ooh,
you know,
yeah,
he's not very coachable.
It? Did you write?
No, I knew without having to write it down.
Wait,
come on, man,
that is really good,
dude. I knew that in Norway, in kindergarten. I knew that at Norwood. All right, come on.
Wow.
Yeah. So he's a member of the media. That's been settled. Hey, regarding Bohm, when you look at a sample size of 600 plate appearances, you tend to get a better look at what the person is as opposed to how they finished. And I think if you were to move him away from the Phillies, you're making a dramatic mistake.
I agree. Unless you get something great back. I mean, I'm in no rush to trade him. He's a good player.
No, but it has to be an instant player back that's going to last you a long time because, like Ruben said, you have this kid under control for a while. So you have someone who hits doubles out the wazoo. He puts the ball in play. So, yeah, okay, he pops up, but so does everybody else. If he can look off the balls like the 2011 players did, he's going to be a superstar.
What if his impetuousness and his childishness holds him back from becoming a superstar, and it drags others down around him?
Yeah, but his childishness, you have to look past that a little bit, because he made one of the most mature moves a couple years ago when he made that mistake, came clean, and then turned into more of the player that he is now.
He did, but
he took strides in the wrong direction this year.
No, that's fair. That's accurate.
He did, but that's coachable, and he can learn. He doesn't come off as one of those people that you think is like a mental case. You know, we've had those players.
I disagree. I think he comes across as a guy who's a mental case.
Nah, it's too early.
He's gonna have to go through. He's gonna have to go through some growth there. There's no question about it that he's gonna, like, the great ones don't react like that. The great ones have a very steady. I mean, they can be pissed off,
yeah,
but they have a very steady, and they don't let them affect them the next at bat. And so, for him to go from good, really good, to great, then he's gonna have to develop that maturity.
That's interesting. Hey, Scott, give me a great answer. Something to display in your home from a movie.
Well, my wife won't like it, but I want a Terminator T-900 without the skin.
Holy
standing in
cow.
The corner of my room.
That's great.
Does that count? I mean, like we said no sure. Batmobile.
No a team that's...
You can have the Terminator?
Sure.
Yeah, it's just
in the corner. It's just in the corner. It's not that big.
Not that big.
It's almost as big as a Batmobile, guys.
No.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. It's like half the size of a Batmobile.
It's a human.
Talk to you about your sizing.
Well, you can't fit a human in your home?
Well, of course you can. You can fit a car in your home, too. It's pushing the envelope.
I think it's a great answer. All right, speaking of answers, I'm going to try to give good answer here in Life Advice with the Hammer, which is brought to us by MHS Lift. If you're looking for forklifts, a warehouse efficiency assessment, any type of material handling equipment, or if your equipment needs repairs, get yourself to MHSLift.com.
My life's a waste of time.
It's time.
I'm a tool.
For Life Advice with the Hammer.
You know how rock bottom your life got to be to get life advice from Joe the Camera?
The Hammer.
I'm an idiot.
Well, maybe I am, but people still ask for my advice, and I dole it out. James, what does someone need help with today?
Got a bit of a doozy today.
God.
Corey Johnson on Twitter asks, what's the best way to deal with self-doubt?
Holy hell. All right, what is the best way to deal with self-doubt? All right, wow. Whew. All right, so I would say a few things. That's a tough one. I would start with trying to, first of all, I would talk to someone. Doesn't have to be a psychologist, but I would lean on a friend or friends. You don't have to have a huge network, but, you know, bring two or three people into this issue and try to get feedback from those that know you well and love you, but also know you in ways that they know the good and the bad of you. And probably help provide some context and steer you in a direction. So that's number one, perspective from those that love you. Number two, I would encourage you, boy, this is a hard one off the top of my head. I'm doing my best. I would encourage you to try to think about things you do well and try to know it. Try to believe it. Try to tap into that, into other elements of your life. You know, I mean, I can't imagine that you doubt everything about your life. So what do you feel confident in? And then try, and I know it's not easy, but try to apply that to the things in your life that you feel less confident in by tapping into that. Now, beyond that, I might be out of bullets. I don't know, man. I'm doing my best. That's a tough one.
It's a tough one. I believe in surrounding yourself with people who lift you up.
That's kind of part of what I just said.
Part of what you said. Yeah. And you also made a great point about...
Did you say a great point?
Just
one.
It was a medium point.
Your first one. Congratulations.
Great point about you know, thinking about the things you do really well, are you really proud of, and focusing on those.
Building off of that.
Building.
Yeah. Building and applying to other aspects.
Say the question again, Jimmy.
How do you deal with self-doubt? Or what's the best way to deal with self-doubt is the actual question.
You know, I think personally, the most progress I've ever made has come from failing as hard as possible. Like, just going out and trying and failing.
Yeah, this might hurt this person, though.
You think?
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but
that should insulate you to some degree.
But look at Alec Boehm.
Okay.
You know, not everyone deals with it well.
You're right. But it should help you deal with it, that it's okay. If it doesn't go exactly the way you thought it would, you can still bounce back, and you can still do great things, and you can still go in a different direction. Make it yours. You know, just own it.
I like it.